So, my dear boy, this last conversation with that earth friend of mine, the priest Abdil, made such a strong impression on him that for 2 whole days he did nothing but think and think. In short, the result of it all was that he began to cognize and sense, almost as he should have, about the custom of sacrificial offerings. Several days after this conversation of ours, one of the 2 big religious festivals in Tikliamish took place, the festival called Zadik, and in the temple where he was the chief priest, my friend Abdil, instead of delivering the usual sermon at the close of the ceremony, suddenly began speaking about sacrificial offerings. I happened to go to the temple that day and was one of those who heard him speak. Although the theme of this sermon was unusual for such an occasion and such a place, it shocked no one, for he spoke better and more beautifully than ever before. He spoke so well and sincerely, and illustrated his theme with so many vivid and persuasive examples that many of his listeners began to weep. His words produced such a strong impression on the whole congregation that although his sermon lasted into the next day instead of the customary half hour or so, nobody wished to leave. And when it was over, everyone remained standing for a long time as if spellbound. In the days that followed, certain passages from his sermon began to circulate among those who had not been there to hear it. It is interesting to remark that it was the custom at that time for priests to exist solely on the offerings of their parishioners. And this priest Abdil had been receiving from his flock all kinds of food for his ordinary existence. For instance, the roasted and boiled corpses of beings of various exterior forms, such as chickens, sheep, geese, and so on. But after this famous sermon of his, no one brought him any of these customary offerings, but only brought or sent him fruits, flowers, all kinds of handiwork, and other such products. My terrestrial friend became overnight the fashionable priest of Kurkalai. And not only was the temple where he officiated always crammed with the citizens of the town, but he was also in great demand to preach in other temples. He delivered many sermons against sacrificial offerings, and the number of his admirers kept on growing, so that soon he was famous, not only among the beings of the capital, but throughout the whole country of Tikliamish. I do not know how it would all have ended had not the whole priesthood, that is, men beings of the same profession as my friend, become alarmed by his popularity and begun to oppose everything he preached. Obviously, his colleagues were afraid that if the custom of sacrificial offerings were to disappear, their own excellent incomes would disappear also, and their authority would soon totter and finally crumble away altogether. Day by day, the number of the priest Abdil's enemies increased, and they spread new slanders and innuendos about him in order to lessen his popularity and destroy his authority. His colleagues began delivering sermons in their temples, proving the exact opposite of everything Abdil had said. At last, things came to such a pass that the priesthood bribed various beings with Khasnamusian properties to plan and commit all sorts of outrages upon this poor Abdil. And indeed, these terrestrial nullities tried several times to destroy his existence by sprinkling poison on the various edible offerings brought to him. In spite of all this, the number of sincere admirers of his preaching grew daily. Finally, the whole corporation of the priesthood could stand it no longer, and one sad day, my friend was brought to trial before the ecclesiastical high court, which sat for 4 days. By sentence of the high court, this earth friend of mine was irrevocably expelled from the priesthood, and at the same meeting, his colleagues also organized further ways of persecuting him. All this, of course, had a strong effect on the psyche of the ordinary beings, so that even those who had formerly respected him the most began to avoid him and to repeat all sort of calumnies about him. The very ones who the day before had sent him flowers and other offerings, those who had almost worshipped him, were soon affected by the constant gossip and became his bitter enemies, as though he had not only insulted them personally, but had slaughtered all their near and dear ones. Such is the psyche of the beings of that peculiar planet. In short, my friend's sincere wish for the good of those around him caused him only pain and suffering. But even this would hardly have mattered if, in a crowning act of treachery, his colleagues, aided by other godlike terrestrial beings, had not brought all this to an end. That is to say, they killed him. This happened in the following way. My friend had no relatives at all in the city of Kuakalai, as he was born in some distant place. And the hundreds of servants and other terrestrial nullities who had flocked around him when he was in a prominent position gradually left him when he lost his importance. Toward the end, there remained only one very aged being who had been with him for a long time. To tell the truth, this old man had stayed with him only on account of the infirmities of age, which, owing to abnormal being existence, are the inevitable lot of most of your favorites. In other words, owing to his complete uselessness for anything required in the ordinary conditions of being existence there. He simply had no other place to go, and that was why he did not desert my friend, but stayed with him even after he had lost his importance and was being persecuted. Well, this old man went into my friend's room one sad morning and saw that his planetary body had been hacked to pieces. Knowing of my friendship with him, he ran at once to tell me about it. I have already told you that I had begun to love the priest Abdil as though he were one of my own kin. So when I heard about this terrible event, there almost occurred in my presence a skinny kunatsino, that is to say, the connections between my separate being centers were almost shattered. But later that same day, I became afraid that some unconscionable being might commit further outrages on my friend's planetary body, and I decided to ward off at least that danger. So I immediately hired several suitable beings for a large sum of money, and unbeknownst to anybody else, had his planetary body removed and placed temporarily on my selchanach, or raft, which was moored not far away on the Oxoseria River, and which I had kept there with the intention of returning on it to the Colchideous Sea and to our ship Occasion. This sad end of my friend Abdil's existence did not prevent his sermons and exhortations from having a strong effect on a growing number of beings. And indeed, the quantity of sacrificial slaughterings began to diminish perceptibly, and it became evident that even if this custom were not abolished, it would at least be considerably mitigated. And for the time being, that was enough for me. As there was no reason for me to stay there any longer, I decided to return at once to the Colchideous Sea, and then to consider what to do with the planetary body of my friend. When I reached our ship Occasion, I found an etherogram from Mars informing me of the arrival there of another party of beings from the planet Caritas and asking for my speedy return. Thanks to this etherogram, a very strange idea came into my head, namely, that instead of disposing of my friend's planetary body on the Earth, I might take it with me and give it to the presence of the planet Mars. I decided to carry out this idea, for I feared that in their hatred, my friend's enemies might make a search for his planetary body, and if they happened to hear where it had been returned to the presence of their planet, or, as your favorites say, buried, they would no doubt find it and perpetrate further outrages upon it. And so, on the ship occasion, I soon ascended from the Colchideous Sea to the planet Mars, where the beings of our tribe, with the aid of several kind Martians who had already learned of the events that had just taken place on the Earth, paid due respect to the planetary body that I had brought back with me. They buried it with the ceremonies customary on the planet Mars, and over the burial place erected a suitable construction. In any case, this was the first, and will surely be the last, grave, as your favorites call it, for a being of the Earth on this at once so near, yet so far, and for terrestrial beings quite inaccessible planet Mars. I learned afterwards that this story came to the attention of the most great archangel Setrenotsinarko, the all quarters maintainer of that part of the universe to which the system Ors belongs, and that he manifested his approval by giving to the appropriate being a command concerning the soul of this terrestrial friend of mine. On the planet Mars, I did indeed find awaiting me several beings of our tribe, recently arrived from the planet Caritas. Among them, by the way, was your grandmother, who, according to the indications of the chief Zerlichtner of the planet Caritas, had been designated for me as the passive half for the continuation of my line.